We have a long scripture reading from John 9:1-41, and so I've added reinforcements. So we'll have several different characters coming up. So if the characters would come up. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered,
"Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him,
"Go wash in the pool of Siloam,"
which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying,
"I am the man."
But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered,
"The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight."
They said to him, "Where is he?" He said,
"I do not know."
They brought to the Pharisees a man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them,
"He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see."
Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, Why do you say about him, 'It was your eyes he opened'?" He said,
"He is a prophet."
The Jews did not believe him. They said he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered,
"We know that this is our son, that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself."
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said,
"He is of age. Ask him."
So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered,
"I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, what though I was blind, now I see."
They said to him, "What do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them,
"I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?"
Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are his disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered,
"He is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing."
They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
He answered,
"And who is he, sir?"
"You have seen her, and the one speaking with you is she."
And he said,
"Lord, I believe."
And he worshipped him. Jesus said,
"I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind."
Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them,
"If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains."
And that ends the reading for today.
Could be a short sermon after that. In the story of the healing that we've just heard, John uses seeing as a metaphor for believing and faith, for coming to see past outward appearances to the truth that's deep in the heart of things. The man who is born blind, he already disappeared here, stumbles like a lot of us toward faith and understanding. Not suddenly or easily, but in the course of this long story, he is led to a personal encounter with Jesus and to faith. The former blind beggar's openness and growing faith contrast sharply with the neighbors and his parents, who are fearful, and especially with the religious establishment, who were downright judgmental. Cure on the Sabbath? Break religious rules? How can this man, how can this Jesus be of God? And yet the man born blind sees the truth so much more than those who spend their time studying and talking about God. This story is full of both metaphor and irony. While the other characters remain at the end where they were at the beginning, the healed man is transformed, is changed, and he finds himself in a very different place, a different place where Jesus is. John shared this story, I think, for a number of reasons, but one was for the community where it was first heard. He used these images of seeing and not seeing, of believing and not believing, to help that early Christian community see themselves in the story. They knew what it felt like to be driven out of the synagogue. They were no longer receiving an extravagant welcome. They were no longer welcome in the synagogue because they were claiming Jesus. They'd been expelled from their church home. And John helps them to connect with their loss, with the gain of grace in their powerful experience of conversion and healing, of understanding and trust. So John's way of telling the story in dialogue must have spoken powerfully to that early Christian community who were no longer welcome in the synagogue, reassuring them that they were not alone, that they now belong to a wider community that shared their faith. Like the man born blind but newly sighted, they were encountering Jesus along the way. Some of the tension in this story comes from judgment and the twists and turns that judgment takes. At the very beginning, the disciples see a blind man and ask Jesus, "Who sinned? The blind man or the parents?" Presumably, they wanted that question asked so they could move on to loving the sinner but not the sin that we so frequently hear. But the twist comes when Jesus says, "Neither," and uses the occasion to glorify God by healing the man, using means that remind us a bit of baptism. Water, and in this case, mud with the water, and rising to a whole new life, a whole new way of self and seeing. And that healing causes lots of talk, lots of consternation, lots of conjecture, instead of wonder and praise. How could this be? How could this man do this? And even the newly sighted man takes a while to find his way to the truth. But he was persistent in his search, and Sam was delightfully clever in his defense before the powers that be. A few years ago in the Christian century, Friedrich Niter wrote a beautiful reflection on this text. And he said, quote, "The Pharisees in the story, like the Pharisee in each of us, prove stubbornly blind to the reckless dispensing of mercy that takes place. It's come on the wrong day, to an unworthy recipient, from a maverick agent whom the Pharisees can't see for dust. Religion, organized or not, seems to gravitate towards structure and limits, perhaps because of the power of mystery and our anxiety and eagerness to control it. A reckless dispensing of grace plays havoc with our need for order and decent behavior. It also goes against our subconscious conviction that in some way we deserve what we get, if it's good, that is, and those beggars on the street did something to get themselves into such a situation." He writes that the judging goes on even today. For us, I'd ask us to consider, what are the hidden truths and realities that we need to see in the life of our congregation? What might we need to see in order to move forward more purposefully toward a new future, new hope, new possibilities. What are the standards that we use to judge what we see? Whether it's a person or a mission or a building, or whether it's an event or experience such as transformation or even a potential disaster. What are the core truths that we depend on? As a man cured of physical blindness depended on when he reasoned that Jesus must be of God since he was able to make him see. And the Pharisees never got there. And yet, even that reasoning was not enough, for he needed to encounter Jesus. So when and how do we encounter Jesus? To hear the truth that transforms lives. To follow in a new path that previously could not even be seen. It's very tempting to claim our identity based on what has gone before, on our ancestry, on what this church was, rather than on who God calls us to be and to become today and in the days ahead. We tend to focus on what is and what has been rather than what is to be. How much does fear of change, of the new and the different, influence our seeing, our discernment, and our decisions? So how do we sense? How do we hear a still speaking God calling us to new sight, to new boldness, to new faith? I think that's what this story gives to us, those questions and challenges. Amen.